This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm pretty good so far. I hope you are, too.
Go ahead, let the cat...
No, I'm not going to say a word. Okay. I'm not going to say a word. You'll have to announce it yourself. Anyway.
Just check the KQEN Facebook page.
There you go. Oh, boy. You'll be shocked. Anyway, thank you for listening today. This is about your yard, your plants, your lawns, your flowers. What do you want to do with it? And if you have questions concerning anything in your landscape that you might want to do or having problems with, you can call 673-4464. Ask the question. We'll have a discussion, and I'll give you a solution, okay? Yep. 673-4464. So today is about perennials and color plants and things that will... Well, would you fill in with
that?
Oh,
I'm just turning you up a little bit.
You're turning me up? That's what I need, yeah. Okay. But color plants, perennials, that kind of thing really sets off a landscape. You know, everybody can have big shrubs. They can have junipers or mugo pines or rhododendrons. And they're all beautiful and they're all fine, you know, provided you put them in the right place and you don't cramp them up and all that. But if you got a big yard, or it doesn't have to be a big yard, but a rather large landscape, and you've got some new plants here and there and everywhere, but you got a lot of bark space in between, you know, might be 10 feet away from one plant to the next or something like that because you didn't want to overplant, which is a good idea, you might want to fill it in with some color items, some colorful plants. And so perennials are just the ticket. They're hardy for the most part. They die down in the winter time, but they come back. Not all of them die down, but a lot of them do, and they come back the following year and following spring. And most of them bloom from early spring till some of them till late summer, even into the fall. So they're a good space filler, and they just add so much to the landscape. And one of my favorite color-type plants is a fuchsia.
Ah, okay.
And you think, well, they don't grow outside. Well, some of them do. Some of them are hardy, and, you know, they will survive outside. But when in bloom, you can't have a more colorful plant. And most people buy them, like, in hanging baskets. Mm-hmm. And, however, you can plant them in your yard. You know, that there's types that will, you know, they'll live through the summer in the ground, they'll do well, and winter comes along, and they may die down or get a little burnt from the cold, but they always come back in the next spring. And if you put them in the shade, you put some good soil in there, some real mulchy kind of organic material, they really love that, and because it's good drainage and it feeds the plants as well. Mm. And they'll bloom longer, and those in the ground, they'll bloom longer and better than a hanging basket. But hanging baskets are good. I mean, it's okay. But fuchsias, they grow wild in Central and South America. They're just they're just all over. And there are over 8,000 hybrid varieties in cultivation.
Wow.
8,000 varieties. I'm thinking, how do you differentiate between one and another? I mean, 8,000 of them? How many colors are there? How many, their sizes, you know, it's the size, the leaf, how big does it get, coloration, the type of blooms. You know, there's so many different things.
And then some are made up, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. And but most of those that you plant outside, they are deciduous. They do lose their leaves in cold weather, and you think, oh my gosh, that fuchsia I've paid $10 for, and it's just
dead.
Lost all its leaves and it's dead. No, it's not. And then it'll come back in the spring, and you go, wow, it did well. And there's some that are evergreen in the warm winter areas, like, Palm Springs, maybe.
Oh, I was thinking of Mexico.
Yeah, Mexico. I've seen them in Cabo.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Growing in people's yards. And it's hot down. It's not just warm down. It's pretty hot.
Your kind of weather.
Yeah, but like most moist, well-drained soil and regular fertilization. But you want to do it very lightly, and regular might be maybe once a month or every 5 weeks, something like that. Just sprinkle a little bit of flower food that promotes blooms around the base of the plant. Don't get them on the stem, just around the base. And like I say, go lightly because you can always add more if you need more. And in cold winter areas, they're going to die down, but there are many times to just come back the following spring and to ensure that the roots don't freeze in a real bad freeze. You want to lay in some extra mulch around the base of the plant.
Yeah.
And these things look good. They look great in any flower bed. They really, really spruce it up. They really brighten the area up. We've got a few in our yard, and we live in a, well, it's colder in our canyon because the sun doesn't get down there as much as it does.
The sun don't shine where you live.
Sometimes it don't, man. Wow, man, what happened to the sun? But some of the varieties, like I say, are the hanging type that look best in baskets, while there are upright varieties that grow straight up. They don't weep. You know, the basket ones, they weep
and they hang down,
right. But they're the upright varieties. They do really well. They look like a shrub. And when they're done flowering, they set some berries. And berries are attractive as well. And some of these upright ones, they grow up to 6 feet tall and 3 feet wide.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was surprised because I've never seen a fuchsia that big. So if you want some outstanding color in your shady flower beds, plant some fuchsias. Yeah, I mean, you won't be disappointed. And just make sure when you select them that you select the hardy ones. Read the tag in the pot, and it'll give you some information about, you know, what kind of cold tolerance it has, or heat tolerance, or whatever like that.
Or when in doubt, Google it.
Yeah, I'll Google it, right. But most fuchsias grow in zone 9, which we're zone 7 here. But there are some that are already clear down to zone 5. And winter temps in zone 5 can get down to a minus 10 degrees.
Mama mia.
And I was really surprised when I was
reading. It can outlast me.
Yeah, I'm sure they could. You know, fuchsia hair. But about 10 years ago, I planted an upright fuchsia at Umpqua Bank in Canyonville because we landscaped it and we took care of it and we did the maintenance for all the Umpqua Banks at that time. And there was it was kind of a protected corner right by one of the entryways, and I knew it would never get a lot of sun. It might get a little bit sometime, but it was protected. Out of the wind, not right up against the building, but, you know, within 6 inches of the building.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to see how it would do. And it was an upright variety. And it was really beautiful all summer. It just bloomed and bloomed, and it grew about 2 feet tall and bloomed till the first hard freeze. And I went down there one day after the freeze, just, you know, part of the route, and there was no fuchsia there. It had burnt. It was so cold it had burnt all the limbs off, the branches off, clear down to the ground.
Oh, and I thought, not good.
Oh, man. Well, that didn't work, but I'll put in another one in next year, you know, when it gets time.
Yeah.
Well, about April, when I was there doing, you know, early spring walk around, I noticed some small shoots coming up from where the one died down.
Little babies.
Little green shoots. And I thought, what the heck is that? And that was the fuchsia's roots. It was a tough one. And the roots were protected, obviously. And it came up. Oh, by June, it was in full bloom again.
Cool.
It was about 2 feet tall, maybe 3 feet tall. Loaded with flowers. And was 10 years ago. And it's still growing strong today.
It's still there?
Yeah, it's still there. Last time I checked, it was still there. Now, I don't know if the new owner of Wintergreen told the crew to take it out or anything like that. I hope not. But it was a good test plot, and it survived.
Yeah.
It survived very, very well.
Many, many winters.
Yeah, really. Tough ones, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And another tough perennial is the daylily. People have daylilies in their yard.
That doesn't sound tough.
Oh, it is. It is really tough. I mean, lots of color from spring to fall. I mean, they bloom, and they have the brightest yellow flowers you ever saw. And they're from, like, Japan, China, Korea, which have cold time in the winter. Pretty cold, a lot colder than us. But that's where they originated. And I don't know if they cultivated them on purpose or they were natural and they just, you know, hybridized them so they would fit into their landscapes or what. Yeah. But as I was doing my research, I found out that there are 30,000 hybrids in cultivation now of daylilies.
Wow.
30,000 different ones.
Boy, business picked up.
I'll tell you what, it's amazing. And, you know, but they need some space to grow, so you want to give them room. You don't want to crowd them up too much at all. They will thrive in the sun or the light shade.
Or the moonlight.
Or in the moonlight, you bet. And they can grow even in this bad, ugly soil that we call Douglas County. But they're going to do much better in well-prepared soil, like I always preach about. And they need little care, but some water in the, like, in the heat of the summer, like, you know, end of mid-July to, say, mid-September. They need a little water, that kind of thing. Got a call?
We do have a call. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hello. Oh, hey, Mike. I just wanted to let you know, I have a fuchsia that is about 7 feet by 7 feet, and I can't kill it. I think it's very hardy and beautiful. I have it on the west side, so it gets really hot.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, and I've had it here. It's been about 15 years now, and I just chop it back, and then it comes back beautiful. And my hummingbirds are so grateful because we have lots of food right now. But my question is, I would love to get starts off of it. So
yeah.
I have so many people come by and ask to get a start, but I don't know how to do it. So I wondered if you did.
Well, they start very easily. And but to start them, you need to put them in a warm spot, like on a windowsill in the house or something like that, in a small, tiny pot, you know, as big as a paper cup or something like that.
Do I take them from root or can I clip a piece of the branch?
The branch. The end of the branches are the best place to do it, where it's firm enough.
Okay.
And just cut a nice clean cut with sharp pruners and don't leave a lot of leaves on it. You can leave a few leaves on them. And then dip them in some rooting hormone, and you get that at the co-op. And just stick them in this moist little cup of good soil and put them in on the windowsill or something like that. And within a month, you should have roots.
Wow. Okay. That sounds really simple.
Oh, it is. It is. You'd be amazed at how well they grow.
Yeah, I've done some research, and they're growing wild over in Ireland. And I think this is just a very hardy fuchsia I have, because I cannot kill it. Not that I want to, but
that's a good
anyway,
sign.
I hope you have a good day. Thanks, Mike.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll take a break right here. And what's our phone number, Mike?
4464 is our phone number.
All right, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Obviously, we are back
Yes, we are back, and I forget what I was talking about. I think
fuchsias.
No, I already went through the fuchsia part.
Oh,
I was talking about daylilies and the 30,000 hybrids that are in cultivation.
It's
right
probably
now.
My hair that's got you all.
Yeah, dark. You know, the guy colored his hair. And it's
hot, breast cancer awareness.
It's
month.
Hot pink. And
it is. It is very bright.
Very bright, and I'm not sure I can even talk. I'm not
I notice your eyes do not come over.
No, I'm not even going to look at you. Oh, gosh. But daylilies, they're another good plant that gives you a lot of color during the growing season. And it's so tough, you know, if you have really bad soil, if you fix it up just a little bit, they'll still grow. But if you put them in really nice soil, they're going to do really, really good. And they're going to get large. They're going to bloom a lot. And they need little care, but some water in the heat of the summer. Keeps them healthy and growing. And they can bloom all summer and make excellent cut flowers for, say, bouquets. And the foliage is like grass-like, like wide grass, and kind of arches, and it's bright green. So even when it's not blooming, it's still an attractive plant. So you get kind of a double thing there with good-looking plant and blooms at certain times. And they grow very well in Douglas County. There's thousands of them in yards in Douglas County. And but
something else that grows well besides weeds.
Yes, and they can outgrow a weed, for crying out loud.
Yay.
Another one is iris. There's
my mom had a lot of those.
Oh yeah, a lot of people. I mean, these are old fashioned plants that have been around for a long time.
They come from bulbs, don't they?
Yeah.
They're not a big root thing.
But you can buy them in the spring from nurseries or box stores that are, you know, they're in a little 4-inch pot and it's already growing.
Oh, okay.
The propagator, whatever they bought the plants from, they do that. Yeah.
Mom started from scratch, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the hard way. But these guys grow very well in Douglas County.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, but the iris, it's hard to choose what size and color will look good in your yard because there's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 300 species. I mean, I don't know if we get all 300 species here in Douglas County, but, you know, you can't go wrong on any of those choices.
No, you're going to get a color.
You're going to get some good color. And they're very hardy, and they mix well in any landscape. I mean, what they are is icing on the cake, okay? You got the big shrubs and things, that's the cake, that's the basis. Okay,
yeah,
now you put the icing on, and you plant these colorful things in around the larger plants, and that's what kind of sets off the whole deal. And you go, wow, that looks great. I'm glad I planted those.
And you got all those variety of colors along with it. So you go.
Yeah.
You're ready to rock.
Yeah. Like, and there's actually too many colors to choose from. So just mix them up, get a bunch. I mean, there's so many colors.
I remember purple.
There are probably some that are purple. There are probably some that are black. I don't know. But they're easy to grow. That's the cool thing. Most of these perennials I'm going to talk about today are easy to grow. I went through and selected, you know, what grows well here in Douglas County, and is it easy? Are they hardy? And those were my criteria for selecting my list. And but the only negative I found is that all parts of the plant are poisonous. Yeah. Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so don't mix them in your salad. They might look good, but they sure won't taste good.
Dang it, I should have fed some to the neighbor's dog. No, I'm kidding.
Scratch that one. We're going to kick him out. Yeah, they are poisonous, and so you don't want to chew on them. You don't want to chew on them or anything like that. But they make great floral arrangements. If you want a nice floral bouquet, you've got company coming over, and you go out there and cut some flowers and stick them in your nice vase, stick it in the center of your table, and everybody go, ooh, those are so beautiful.
But don't touch them.
Yeah, don't touch it. Don't bite it.
Don't smoke it.
No, don't. Red Hot Poker is another favorite of mine.
That's an actual name of it?
Yeah, Red Hot Poker. They grow straight up, and the flower can be a foot long, but it's only as big around as, I will say, a half a dollar, and it goes straight down the stem. It almost looks like exotic cactus or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They're all interesting. They're all around here, and they just multiply like crazy, so you want to give them a lot of room. You don't want to crowd them up against the house or anything like that. But they give you a whole lot of color. There's reds, there's oranges. I've seen some that are yellow orange. Again, you can't kill them unless you water them. they belong in some desert, I think.
But Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, could be. But they come from they're original from Central and Southern Africa, and they're about 70. When I could do my research, there are about 70 different species of red hot poker. So I have no idea. I only know of two or three here that we have, but there's 70 species of them. I'd love to see a book on just
that.
Yeah, see.
I bet Google has it.
No, I'm not going to Google nothing. And their native habitat, they're usually in moist places. They'll grow well in any soil as long as it's moist. But not a swamp, okay?
No.
not the place where your septic tank drains or anything like that.
Gross.
Yeah. They prefer sun, but they're going to tolerate a little light shade. And red hot pokers, they also make good flowers. They're real strange flowers, but strange in that they don't look like a flower, you know?
Yeah, that originated in China.
Africa, actually.
Africa,
yeah,
okay.
But they don't just come in red, but they come in orange and yellowish. And the flower color, like I said, is outstanding, and it's going to brighten your landscape. And you can spread 2 to 3 feet and, give them some room to grow. You know, about 3 feet apart is close enough for a real hot display, but they're not going to choke each other out. You know, maybe you can do them farther apart, but don't do them any closer than three. Yeah. And
as my dad used to say, don't crowd me.
You're right, don't crowd me. Another one on my list today is Shasta Daisy. Everybody likes Shasta Daisies, I think. They can grow anywhere.
See, that sounds like a puny little name.
Yeah, but they're not. They're a tough little flower. I mean, there are only 26 varieties to choose from, though.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well.
Not 3,000 or 30,000.
Yeah.
It has a white flower with a bright yellow button in the center of that flower. And if you plant one, you'll have many others in a few short years.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's how they work. And mix these with some other perennials, and you have a flower garden that will require you to wear sunglasses to look at it.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. And on average, they can grow up to about 24 inches over some time. But most varieties are a little shorter, and there's some a little bit taller, but figure about 24 inches would be a big average there.
That's a good height.
Yeah, and they'll grow in the sun and half shade with a good soil mix. I mean, if you had them in the sun from early morning till, say, 1 in the afternoon, and then they kind of got partially shaded or something like that, they'd love that. That would be the ideal place for them to live. And any of these varieties that I've just shot out at you are hardy. They bloom well. They require minimal care, and when mixed together, like I say, they'll give your landscaping a blue ribbon, for crying out loud.
And apparently, they do well in Douglas County.
Oh yeah, extremely well in Douglas County. So anyway, I was wondering. Let's see, I had.
Need a break to get your thoughts?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm okay. I need a break anyway.
But. It's just, I swear, it must be that's my hair. It's just thrown him off track.
Yeah, totally. But like I said, most perennials are very hardy. You know, like they're long-lasting, lots of color. They'll brighten your landscape most of the year. And like I say, here in Douglas County in Western Oregon, Our climate is classified as moderate, winter and summer. So we have so many choices of plants to select from. Whereas if you lived over in Eastern Oregon, you're not going to have that same. You're going to have some of these that are real hardy,
yeah.
But not the not the variety and the display that we have here in what do we call this? It's not coastal, but inland valleys.
Mid-Willamette Valley, whatever. Mid-Umpqua Valleys
or whatever, yeah, you know. But my mother-in-law, I remember they lived in the high desert below Susanville, California.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to have daylilies, and she used to have a lot of these things growing in her, and they got basically sand. And my father-in-law would mix manure in it, you know, cow manure or horse manure from one of the ranches around there into the soil. And it grew well. And, I mean, you know, he didn't do a whole lot to them. Watered them once in a while, and they'd been, you know, all the years we went down there to visit them, they were all always looking good. Yeah.
Just feed them a little.
Yeah, a little bit of manure or a little, buy some bagged fertilizer, whatever, and just make sure they have something to eat once in a while, you know. Like I say, they'll do really, really well.
Finally found a good use for that product.
Yes.
Notice I put it politically correct.
Product, yes.
Yes.
That's great. I just learned something. So, anyway, with the perennial stuff, you just got so much you can choose from. And every box store, you know, the Walmarts, the Bi-Marts, and plus all the nurseries, and even Safeway and Albertsons and Freddy's have, you know, their display of flowers and things out in front of their stores in the spring. And you can go through there and look and see who's got what. And there'll be a lot of the same stuff from store to store, but some of them will have some different items that you can select. I used to do that. I mean, I owned a nursery for 50 years, for crying out loud, but I'd go to Bi-Mart and go, well, that's a cool plant. We don't have any of those. So I'd buy one of those and then propagate it and make more.
There you go. Know? Yeah.
Because it was tough. It was good. And it was bright and colorful.
And it worked.
Yeah, it worked. Yeah.
Well, should we take a little pause here?
Yeah, we'll pause.
Okay. And our phone number there, Mr. Michael.
673-4464. Any questions, fair game.
News Radio, 93.9 FM. And 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, we are back once again.
So. Yeah, and if you have a question, 673-4464, and I'll get you right on the air, and we'll give you an answer. I will give you an answer, and it's usually correct.
That's right.
As long as you don't try to trick me.
Have people done that?
No.
No, I didn't.
Everybody that calls here is wonderful, for crying out loud. They're great folks. Anybody that gardens and plants plants and likes plants is a number one in my book.
There you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
See? That's all you got to do.
Hey, you're on the air with Mike.
Hello, this is the mole rat, and he would like to know about a question about a bonsai tree.
It's not bonsai. It's bonsai.
I thought I was called bonsai.
It's not bone.
Mr. Bonsai. Commissioner of Dirt, Sultan of Soil, what should I do about my bonsai tree?
Well, what kind is it?
It's just a regular bonsai tree.
Yeah, but is it a pine? Is it an evergreen? Is it a Japanese maple? Do you know what kind of tree?
Oh, I think it's a Japanese maple.
How large is it, Jim?
This is the mole. Oh, Jim? Who? Oh. It is about 10 feet high.
Well,
should I trim it back?
It's not bonsai material. It's not in a pot. It must be in the ground.
Yes, it's in a ground.
Yeah,
it's in the ground.
Well, a bonsai usually goes in a pot, and you dwarf them in the pot, and that's why they get very old and very gnarly. But if you got a 10-foot Japanese maple, go ahead and trim a couple feet off of it and trim out some of the inner branches, and it will give it some more class.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Mr. Winters. And I will work on my bonsai tree today.
Okay, Jimmy. We'll see you later. I'm going to get you for this.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. All righty. Must have been a friend of yours.
Yes, it was one of my friends. Yeah, he's a football coach at Junior High over there on Harvard.
Oh, Fremont?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been a football coach over there for 100 years, I think. he's a retired teacher, but he's still coaching the football team. Yeah,
got to keep active.
Yeah, he's kind of a smart aleck, but that's okay. I put up with him. I visit him a lot.
He's got a good sense of humor.
Well, he does. He's kind of sarcastic. You know. But
we take all kinds here.
I know. Hey, we don't refuse any question. But on these perennials that I'm talking about, you know, most of them, 90% of them that I've done research about, they're very, very hardy. They're long lasting with lots of color, and that will brighten your landscape most of the year. I mean, when I say most of the year, some of them even bloom clear until, oh gosh, November. And if it gets a little bit too cold, December, they kind of slow down and they kind of go halfway dormant, if you will. They're not producing any new growth because it's too cold and the sun's not shining and it's raining and all that kind of stuff. But about March, they start to wake up and new growth happens, new leaves happen. And by April, normally, depending on which type it is, you'll see new flower buds and they start that process all over again. And like I say, some of them will bloom from March, April, clear to November. And they're just so tough. It takes a lot to kill a perennial. I don't know why, but you can kill a rhododendron faster than you can kill a perennial. I mean, that's what it seems like. But they're just a bright spot. And here in Douglas County, Western Oregon, our climate is classified as moderate. For winter and summer, so we have many choices of plants to select from. Whereas if you went down to Southern California or Upper Montana or something like that, the choices are somewhat limited, and they won't be the same as what we get
here. A little more selective.
Yeah, you have to be more selective. But another one is a bellflower. It's a unique plant, and there are only 300 species to choose from. When doing this research, when I see all these numbers I say, how could they have 300 different bellflower plants? How are they different? Because it doesn't show pictures or anything of all 300.
Mm-hmm.
Or the one that was 30,000 I was talking about earlier. I forget which one that is now. But how in the world, where's the difference? And I don't know that the regular person, the amateur, if you will,
right,
could even pick out the differences.
Difference. Yeah.
And there might be differences in growth, rate of growth, hardiness, you know.
The shape.
The shape, the flowering times.
Yeah.
Colors of flowers. You know, there's a lot of criteria that goes into this stuff. But today, like I said, I'm only talking about a few of them. So Don't demand much from us in they all don't demand much from us in gardening and doing the care. You can neglect them and they grow in spite of you, not because of you. And most of them can grow in sun or shade, but a little bit of sun and a little bit of shade is a good combination, because when we get to be 99 degrees, 104 degrees and all that.
Love it. I love it.
Anything. What?
I said, I love that weather.
Yeah, because you're inside. Yeah, in air conditioning. Go outside and hoe in the dirt a while and all that.
That'll get my hair this color,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, right. Jeez Louise, if you could see his hair, you'd faint. It's bright pink.
Well, it is on the KQEN Facebook page.
Yeah, give them the channel for that one. Oh, gosh. Yeah. But all of these, like I said earlier, they got to be planted in a well-drained, fertile soil, which is true for all these plants. They just do better. They grow better. They're healthier. They bloom better. And but you can take these bellflowers and plant them against a wall. Or use them as a border plant because they don't get very large. And some of them are spreaders and they can be used as a ground cover, for instance, while others that grow tall can be planted, you know, amongst other shrubs or along the driveway or up against a fence or something like that. But bellflowers have a wide variety of shapes. Like the flowers are actually tubes. You know, they're like a tube, and they droop down.
Mm-hmm.
And the colors are outrageous. I mean, there's many shapes, many colors. And you know, I haven't seen too many. I've seen a few around here, but there's not too many. But those flowers, like they're tubular, mm-hmm. and they're bell shaped, and some of them are even star shaped, and they have a combinations of that in between, if you can picture that.
But well, there you go, the varieties.
Oh yeah, yeah, just
wow,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. They kind of yeah, I've seen them. They hang down.
Yeah, the flowers do.
Yeah.
And they're found in natural settings in Asia, for crying out loud,
uh-oh.
In Turkey, and in all of Europe. I mean, they're just like a native. They're like a Oregon grape over there. You know, they grow anywhere.
Is that right?
you don't have to buy them at a nursery. They're just running
here,
around. In
yours
the,
for the picking.
Yeah, just go ahead and dig them up, boy. And they have a very long blooming season from like late spring through the summer and even into the fall. And give them lots of room to grow, because they will spread, or plant them in a container, and they'll also self-seed unless you deadhead the flowers. Truly, the flowers are bell-shaped,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't want a lot of them when they bud up with their flowers, that's the way. When you pick them off, they won't seed so much, because that's where the seeds come from. And
oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I knew it made sense. That's why I said it.
That's why you said it.
but that's what you do. Any of these things that, if you think, well, it's I got too many flowers, I want less. Go ahead. When they bud up, take some of the buds off. You don't have as many flowers, and the ones that remain get bigger and nicer. It's simple. Yeah, because the same amount of energy is coming from the root system, but there's less to feed. So the nutrition goes into what's there, and so consequently, you get bigger, brighter flowers.
There you go. And it's a win-win again.
Absolutely. So, and you can't be afraid to do this. You're not going to hurt it. It's like cutting your fingernails. You can't, you know, your finger doesn't fall off when you cut your fingernails or your toenails or whatever. Same thing with the flowers.
Yeah.
You can prune them. You can, in the shrubs, that kind of thing. But
kind of like my stinking China vine. I can't.
Yeah, your China vine. I think you ought to pot it up. Dig it up this winter and put it in a pot,
yeah.
and bring it in here so I can see it, and then maybe it'll grow inside here.
Oh, Kyle would love that.
Yeah, give it to Kyle. Put a ribbon on it and say to my best buddy Kyle.
Yeah,
here's my China plant.
Here's my love, Kyle.
Yeah. Okay, so. And then the crocus. Crocus is another interesting small plant that does well here. Everybody needs some crocus in their yard. I mean, they're small, 3 to 4 inches tall.
That's a weird name.
Yeah, but the flowers are spectacular in color.
Okay.
I mean, they're really, really pretty. When the crocus are blooming and you're driving down the street, you go, wow, look at that. What are they? You know, I mean, they just radiate color out at you.
Oh.
And they're a great flower for like edging or spreading them all over your landscape, and they'll bloom in spring and autumn. If you treat them halfway decently. If you neglect them, you're not going to get the flower production that you would get if you took care of them a little bit. They don't need a lot of care, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the flower is shaped like a small goblet. And they're deciduous, and they will die down in the winter, but they come roaring back the following spring. And all they need is sun and good drainage, and they will increase and spread. They'll spread throughout your whole yard. I mean, they can.
They're off to the races.
They're off to the races. So we're in hardiness, like I said, I think earlier. We're in hardiness zone 7, and these crocus are good all the way down to zone 4, and the lower the number, the colder the colder
oh,
it
I
is.
See. Okay.
Like Hawaii's a 14 or a 15, and we're a 7. And zone 4 is like it's cold Montana stuff or Nevada or something like
colder
that.
Colder than you know what.
Yeah, colder than Nevada.
We got to take a break. You ready?
Okay, yeah, we'll break.
All right, what's on the other side of the break?
Oh, 673-4464. Any questions? Fair game.
All right. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Boy, we're in the home stretch already, Mike. Gone by quick, ain't it?
Okay, 673-4464 if you want to call and have a question.
There you go.
I got an answer.
Yep.
So, next thing on my perennial list are some carnations. You know, I want some carnations in your yard. There's only 300 species to choose from.
Has nothing to do with the milk.
No.
Brand.
This is not milk. This is flowers. And most of the carnation species originated in Eurasia and Africa. Mm. And there's even one that grows in the Arctic.
Good heavens.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And color-wise, you're looking at red, pink, white, and sometimes all in the same flower. Yeah, multiple
colors.
I'm
trying to picture that.
Well, you probably never saw one then.
No, I don't think I have.
But they are evergreen and long flowering, and the flowers are kind of perfumey. They're very nice smelling. And they like sandy, well-drained soil and sun. It's a great color spot in a pot or put them in your garden. But if you got some patio and you want some potted plants, these are the kinds of things you want to put in there because there's just no hassle to them. They just grow, they look good, and then you go, oh gosh, I gotta water it. You know, it's 106, so you water it, and it's good for another week.
For another 100,000 miles.
Yeah, right. But now, if you want exotic flowers, then plant some lilies. You know what a lily is,
like,
don't
Easter
you?
Lilies.
Yeah.
Yeah, my plant's doing well.
Yeah, I know. You've tried to kill it how many times now? but lilies, they're so easy to grow. You don't need much care. I mean, and they have spectacular flower.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely gorgeous flower. But they don't do well in clay soil. Again, it's too heavy and no drainage. It's too wet, so plant them in pots or raised beds. With good draining soil, and if you do that, they're gonna do well. But if you just dig a hole in Douglas County clay and stick them in, forget it. They're you've just wasted your time and your money. But most types grow well in zones 5 through 7. Like I said, 7 is our zone, and 5 is a little bit colder. But that's their preferred range. And then grow a foot tall, like the Formosa lily. Or they can get up to 6 feet tall, like the African queen lily. Yeah. I mean, 6 foot tall lily. I saw a picture of it. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But if they get that big, it's going to require some kind of staking. You might have to put some stakes around it, and maybe, you know, some fishing line or something around
it. To keep it together.
Yeah, to kind of hold it in. Otherwise, it gets too heavy with the flowers and falls over, breaks, and looks bad and
you
dies.
You got to start all over again.
Yeah, you got to start all over again, for crying out loud. But it makes excellent cut flowers and for bouquets, for dinner occasions, or just giving them to a friend. And all I can say is plant some. You know, try a couple. See what you think. Put them in a place where you can really take care of them. And I'm going to finish up here with trilliums. This perennial can be found in the forest or in your yard. I walked up through my woods, and I see in the spring there's these little flowers, and they're blue and white, and I'm thinking, wow, a bunch of them there. And how they got there, I have no clue. And they're just way up in the woods, and they get no care, and they're beautiful. They're gorgeous. But if you try to transplant them down in your yard, that's when you start having problems. They don't like to be transplanted.
They want to be left alone.
Yeah. But the vast majority of them, of trillium, they can be found in North America. You know, we finally got some.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've got them growing up on my slopes up in the timber and some along my creek. And they're a spring bloomer, and their leaves and their petals grow in threes. Okay, trillium.
Yep.
Trillium. Well, the leaves come out on the stem. There's three leaves on that stem.
Okay.
Another stem comes out. There's three leaves on that stem. The same one with the flower.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
There's three flowers. So
yeah.
I guess that's how they picked the name. I don't know. But most of them have white flowers, but there are three varieties that have like a deep burgundy colored flower, and they bloom in the spring, and they seem to grow best in afternoon shade. They like the shade, and that's why I guess they're growing so good up in my timber.
Yeah, there should be a lot of shade up there.
Yeah, there is. It's beautiful. And in your yard, they're going to do best in like a mulchy forest type soil, you know, a lot of bark mulch. And if you plant them carefully, no rough stuff, it takes a while for them to grow and bloom, up to 2 years before they bloom. But once they're established, they do well, and they spread slowly. And they're not something that's going to rage all over your yard and take up a whole lot of space and all that kind of stuff.
Like some of those you had mentioned previously.
Yeah, some of those that are so aggressive. But if you plant them from seed, you can buy Trillium seed. It'll take several years for them to bloom because they have to get a good root system. They have to get mature and all that, and it just takes that long. And these things are hard to find in nurseries. There's a few nurseries that grow native stock here in the Pacific Northwest, and they have them, and I've seen them from time to time, but they're not your regular petunia thing that you find everywhere.
They're not on the menu.
Yeah. And, pansies.
Oh, Lord, there's another name.
Yeah, it's a misnomer. It's not a pansy, you know, it's a pansy. it's not a fragile plant, and there are only 500 species from all over the world, pansies. Huh. Yeah, it's crazy. And they like full sun or partial shade, and they have a long flowering season. And in the spring, you can find them at nurseries, grocery stores, or maybe even gas stations, and they do really, really well.
So, and that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoy making it up.
See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.